We started a series last week and want to thank everyone that was involved last week. My God, what a day. Still feeling it. Not even for the worship itself. It was great, but it was the aftermath that still gets me. Baptized two young people. The effects of worship go beyond just the worship moment. Most of you that are here, y'all heard me announce while everybody getting their chicken, Lord. And I said it and I meant it. I really did. I said, y'all ain't gotta jump up and come. Y'all eat your chicken. Y'all already been in worship, and I appreciate those that came in to support the family and those two young people who basically demanded. You hear me? They said today was the day. It was, you know, you can't convince somebody when they're convinced. Some of y'all get that on the way home. We thank God for what has already started. The series title, New Season, A New Identity, we're talking this morning about life after the payoff. Life after the payoff. The scripture has been read from the Message translation. I will be primarily focusing in that translation this month for this series. I want to begin by raising a thought. Have you ever had a physical reaction to debt? I didn't say an economic reaction, a physical reaction to debt. Could be mortgage, could be car payment, could be student loans. Y'all pray for me. Because every time I think about it, it makes me ill. I'm actually decent today. I didn't have a cold. My throat's just been worked. But just thinking about it makes me physically ill. If I bend over and double over, it is because of the very thought of debt. And when people have that reaction, is because they think about the responsibility of it. They think about what they have to do to meet the obligations and do this and do that. They're thinking about how they got to budget it. They think out they got to deal with all that stuff. It is a crippling effect. Yes, sir. But if economic debt causes that kind of reaction, I want to suggest that spiritual debt is worse. And some people would probably say that when you're not in Christ, what does it really matter? How, you know, you're talking about you get sick at the thought of money you got to spend and pay. You're talking about with, you know, your spirit. You know, we're free thinking people. We can do what we want because we are moral thinking agents of the world. We have free will. Do what you want. You make your decisions. You live by them. That's it. Just because I got the freedom to make a decision doesn't mean that every decision I've ever made was a good one. Okay. Let's. Hey, sis. They know me now. So I can talk to you, right? Because you saw this up close. So you can confirm this.
Amen.
Every person that you are in relationship with probably shouldn't have been. I ain't going to talk about your life. I'm going to talk about mine. Because some of y'all already get nervous. I ain't in your business. I don't know what you did, didn't do, whatever. I just made a general statement. I know in my life, there was a person before the one I'm with.
Preach the word. Preach the word.
And according to everybody around me, after I left her alone, there was much joy in the land. Every choice you make, just because you can do it, doesn't mean it's the right one. People say live without regrets. The devil is a liar. Some of y'all know good doggone well you have regretted some stuff. Notice what I said. You regretted. You don't live in regret. Oh, there's some things you regret. There's some. Oh, see, I'm loose now. I don't. There's some fashion choices you regret. There's some hairstyles you regret. There's some stuff you regret. There's some things that you said to people you regret. There's some ways that you have approached people that you regret because you're not what you used to be. But you look back at what you were and you're like, why did I act like that? It happens. That kind of debt lingers over people's heads. And watch this. I'm going to say something slightly controversial, but you know me, I don't care. There are saved folk today that still have the issue of that debt lingering over their heads, waiting for it, not because they haven't been delivered from it, but because they have become preoccupied with it. When you're preoccupied with what you have done to the point where it cripples you, you are not living to the fullness of what God wants you to live. Yes, I regret many of the choices I've made. Yes, I have said openly in public and in private the decisions I made as a husband and as a father and as a pastor. There's a lot of stuff I regret. Amen. There's a lot of stuff I've written about where I was like, if I would have done something differently, I wish I could have. But in that moment, I didn't think like that. Amen. And listen to what I'm about to tell you from a personal place. The reason that today I am free is because I have not only owned what I've done, but here's the other side. I finally embrace the freedom that comes in salvation. Now, you may not understand what I just said, but hear me out. It's good to know that I'm free because of the blood. But it's a whole nother thing when I actually live like I'm free. It's one thing to shout about the fact that Jesus died for me and rose for me, but it's a whole nother thing to be able to live that thing out where I don't have to continue to hold on to what I've done. That's different. There are folk that are saved that are still in bondage because they're not walking in freedom. And they're not walking in freedom because they've allowed people, things, and situations to tell them that they can't truly be free. When the Bible has told us whom the Son is set free is free indeed. So there's a disconnect between what Jesus has done and the life we're living. So let me help all of us. Text says that we should finally function in freedom from DIY living. Do it yourself is only good for a few things. Home improvement and fixing your... Oh, Jesus. Some home improvement and fixing your own food the way you want it. Maybe crafts if you enjoy it. But when it comes to your salvation, you and I should not have any part in trying to create opportunity for us to be free. Because our natural understands bondage. You know how I know this? As long as this thing called gossip going around, we understand bondage. As long as people talk about one another, there's always bondage. We understand that. As long as people going around saying to themselves, what is the tea of the day? We understand bondage. But freedom, whole different thing. Can I get historical? Harriet Tubman once said something to this effect. That you know, she tried to get as many people to freedom as possible. But you can't tell a slave that freedom is there if they are totally consumed with being a slave. And for some of them, the only way they would ever be free is if she had her way, she would have shot some of them. Because they were entrenched in being enslaved. What did the law end up becoming according to the word of God? It became, to a certain extent, a slave master because we were trying to come about our own piety according to it. Rather than embracing what God did through Jesus Christ that could not be done by the law. What did we talk about last week? The law became nothing more than a band-aid. But what Christ did got to the root of the illness and dealt with sin at its source. So now that Jesus has done all that, what are you and I supposed to do? We're not to be consumed with trying to do it ourselves. You got to walk away from it and embrace new life. The way this was put, you got to put in the ground the DIY mentality. There's nothing in it for us, nothing at all. The best thing to do is give it a decent burial and get on with your new life. Wow. No eulogy. Bury it and go. Do you hear what I'm saying? You and I can't do for ourselves what Jesus did for us. So our assignment is not to be preoccupied with what we can and can't do per se, because that means we're on a continuous cycle. You already know what you can and can't do. You already know what you're fully able to deal with right now. And you know what you need help with. Don't walk around here as if you don't need help with something. And the fact that you need help with something ought to be a shouting moment. And you may say, why? Because the fact that I need help with something means that I got to lean on something that's greater than myself. What I can handle, I'm going to handle. But what I can't handle, I got to trust somebody greater than me. And if there's something that I can't handle, I can't walk around like I can handle it by myself. I got to go around every once in a while, look up to heaven and say, I need your help. So Paul said, Jesus freed you from trying to figure it out. Freed you from it. The resurrection life that you have, that you receive from God, is not timid and focus on dead things. You are not supposed to stand around the grave of the thing that you just buried. I wonder if it'll still have any use. It's dead. Let it go. Maybe that, hold on, before I go any further, maybe that cry out was for somebody in a different place. Let me go ahead and be prophetic for a moment. Stop standing at the grave of the thing that died a long time ago. It ain't getting up. Jesus didn't authorize it to get up and didn't give you the power to call it forth. Let it go. Yeah. You got life to live. Jesus paid the price for your life. It's time to live. Live with expectation like a child. Looking up to your mama or your daddy, saying, where are we going? What are we doing? I don't care how long it really takes. I'm just glad that I'm with you. You know, we don't hear that when our kids are saying all that stuff. But that's really the reality. Where are we going? What are we doing? Where are we going? What are we doing? Child, that's what we hear. But text says we ought to have that kind of excitement. Because wherever God is leading us, there's got to be something to it. You ought to have something in you that's excited for something greater. So, the question is, how you going to live now? Let me give you three things to help you live. Knowing that the Christ that we serve paid your price, paid off your debt, paid it off. It's in your hands. It says you're paid in full.
Hallelujah.
What you got to do? What you going to do now? How you going to live? First thing, you got to live invested. You got to live invested. When you have disposable income, and you don't have debt, you are more able to do more things. I'm principle, okay? The principle is when you have more disposable income, you can do more stuff. So you don't have to be rich to do stuff. The key is, according to economics, you just have to have the disposable income to do it. Bring it in. If your spirit is constantly cluttered with all kind of stuff that ain't got nothing to do with Jesus, you don't have the ability to do more. I'm preaching if you ain't shouting. If your life is totally cluttered with everything else that is that is a depreciating asset, you can't invest what God has given you into kingdom advancement. It is impossible for you to serve God at your optimal level when you got all your energy invested in other stuff. That's why you got to leave some folk alone. Because they sucking the life out of you. That's why you got to leave some things alone. Because you can't even pray for folk because you're consumed with praying for yourself to deal with the craziness. You can't invest what God has given you into the things that God has called you to do when it's what? Hemmed up in other places. Said, you're paid in full, so let the dying thing die and move on. So it didn't give you a return, chalk it up, write it off, go on. He already paid it off. Thank you, Jesus. He paid it all. That means even your bad investments, he paid them off too. Well, if I leave them alone, I'm going to lose something. No, baby, no. He paid it all.
Yes, sir. Yes.
Which means there is no loss.
That's right.
You ain't lose nothing. Because whatever was invested that's gone, he already paid it off. So you can start back where you need to start from. I didn't lose anything leaving some folk behind. I gained everything I needed so I could keep on going. I didn't lose anything when folk turned their back on me because he paid it all. He gave me what I thought I lost because he filled in the space. So now I'm able to what? Invest. I'm able to preach like I want to preach. I'm able to teach like I need to teach. I'm able to encourage folk like I need to encourage them, because the Lord has set me free from how I tried to get myself together, and he's given me unlimited resources where I can just. Here's a word: stop acting broke. He paid it all. You don't have anything to owe. Watch this. Anybody. Don't let folk tell you that you owe them because of a thing. They're trying to keep you in bondage. Because if you're ever free, that means that they're no longer the source. Which means that you're no longer obligated to them. Which means that then you can actually do what God said do. Which means that you can walk in it and you don't have to look like you've been broken down by life. And then you can have the testimony, I don't look like what I've been through. Number two, you got to be determined. In a new life, in this life, you got to be determined. Determined. Look at this. The determination part is saying in yourself, God, I don't know where we going, but as long as I'm with you, we going to get there. CJ is probably the smartest kid I know, and not because he's my son. Uh-huh. And I mean this with all my heart. Not, and I'm talking about emotional and spiritual intelligence. All right, now he's brilliant, mm-hmm. but I'm talking emotional and spiritual intelligence. I looked at my son, 4 feet plus 75 pounds found out, built like his pop. Yeah. That's my dude, Charles 2.0. I couldn't ask for more. Yes, yes. It's my dude. We were sitting together last night. I said, come here, boy, come here. I tell you, daddy is going to be busy, and I need you to help me, man. I need you to help me. I'm going to sleep early. Daddy need to go sleep because I got a long day coming, and I might have to get up and shovel. I might have to do some stuff. Listen to what Charles Jeremiah Ferguson said to his dad. He said, well, daddy, if you got to shovel snow, I can get my shovel. All right, come on now. And I can help you. Come on now. Amen. I didn't shout about this until this morning because it didn't dawn on me. But last night I said, well, son, I appreciate it. And I appreciate your willingness. But this may be a job that daddy's got to do. But here's what God let me catch. Because you don't always catch it right away. My son didn't care if it was shoveling snow. He wanted to be where his daddy was. And he said to his father last night, if it means shoveling snow next to you, I'm going to be right there with you. When was the last time you looked to God and said, I don't care what it is, I'm going to be right where you are? I know we sing songs like, you know, in this, don't do it without me. That's singing a song. But when was the last time you looked up to heaven and just said, God, whatever you're doing, I just want to be there. I don't care how it looks. I don't care what it takes. I'm going to be there. I just want to be where you are. That's the kind of determination you ought to have. You ought to be determined. I'm not going to wait for somebody to give me authorization to be where God is. I'm just going to make up my mind and go wherever he's going. And do whatever needs to be done to be there right where I need to be. Folk don't need another worship service to come to be around folk that are going to sit and occupy space and never have a determination to do anything. You don't need to come to church for that. All you got to do in some instances is go home and sit on your couch. But sometimes you got to get around some folk that are determined. We ain't going to just be, and we're not going to be placeholders. We're going to do what God asked us to do. And we're going to be right where the Lord is. Last thing you need is to be secure. Last thing in this new life, you need to be secure. What are you talking about? And I try to explain to people. Sis knows this about me. I'm a simple dude. Matter of fact, I'm reminded of how we met. In Circleville, you have Second Baptist Church. It's on West Mill Street. Go around the corner. There is the Castle Inn, right? Bed and breakfast, that's where my sister used to work. Her and my brother, who's here in spirit, were walking one day. I was at the church, I just happened to be there. And it was a nice day, it was a sunny day. Came around the corner. I guess they knew enough to know that I guess I was the pastor or whatever. I wasn't in none of this. Y'all know me. I was in my t-shirt. I think it was warm that day, so I was probably in like t-shirt and some shorts. I was just chilling. I wasn't doing a lot. We met out in the street, just chewing it up about life and stuff. And I didn't introduce myself as pastor. So they never treated me according to my title. They treated me according to who I am. I'm not a title person. Matter of fact, I almost despise it. Because if you ain't functioning in it, then you just a placeholder. Which has been my mentality for 20 plus years now. That ministry does not require you to have a title. Ministry requires you to be willing. But it's another part too. It requires you to be secure. Secure in what? In who you are. Amen. Who are you? According to the text, I am a child of God. Let me say that again. Even folk that don't normally shout should have shouted off this one. Y'all ready? Let me say it again. According to the text, I am a child of God. Not just a child of God, but a child of God, according to the text, with an inheritance. And not just a child of God with an inheritance, but a child of God that will go through the good and the bad with Christ. Nowhere in there does it talk about my call. Nowhere in the text does it talk about me being a pastor. Nowhere in the text does it talk about any other position I've ever held in ministry. My security is in the fact that I am a child of God. Some of the most insecure people function in church life. Not kingdom life, not saved life, church life. I'm making a distinction. When you follow the things of Christ, saved life. When you're doing things for the kingdom of God, kingdom life. But in church life, it gets muddled sometimes. Because people find more importance in position than in doing what God asked them to do. They prove that they're insecure. What would happen if you never had the title?
Amen.
What would happen if you were never called this, that, or the other?
Yes.
What would happen, preacher, if you were never called pastor? Well, For me, only thing that would happen is that I would keep on serving the Lord until I die. I don't stop serving God because no longer I don't do this or that. I've told you the story. I wasn't pastoring for 2 whole years. But I kept on preaching whatever I could. I kept on teaching whatever I was asked. I kept on worshiping God even when it was tough. And why? Because God is deserving of my praise and my worship regardless. So I can tell you for a fact, no matter what you are in, no matter if you're on top or you're nowhere near the top, no matter if you got position, title, or call, if God has called you out of darkness into the marvelous light, the Bible says that you are a child of God. So rest in that. You find your security in that. You ain't got to prove a thing to nobody. Prove it. All right, let me prove it. When you go into a room, I'm speaking to some direct stuff, even if you don't know it. When you walk into a room and the whole tone changes and you haven't uttered one word to cause it to change and things begin to happen, things you prayed about begin to get released, and nobody in the room understands why that happened, and you're the only one in the room that knows exactly why it happened, but you don't even go around bragging about why it happened, because you know how your Father in heaven works. And you just walk in it, you don't say nothing. You just mind your business. And when people begin to say stuff like, you must have some kind of pull, and then all of a sudden they opened up the door for you to tell them the truth. The truth is, I ain't got pull, but I am a child of God. And just because of that alone, it allows me and affords me some things that I may have asked for, but it wasn't promised to me. But because of who I know and what I know, I am confident that God will show up. So I don't need your validation, because I've already been validated by the Almighty. And that's what I hold on to. So if you see me chilling, it's because I ain't worried about what you think of me. If you see me relaxed when all hell's breaking loose, it's because I know in whom I have believed. And I am secure in the fact that the same God that saved me before can do it again. I ain't got to prove nothing, because he's already done it. So, start living. Start living. Don't live with a broke mentality, with a broken mentality, with a mentality that says, I'll never recover. You may be going through today, and it's understandable that you are upset about where you are, and it's even more understandable that you are processing all that you feel. But guess what? Don't stay there. Weeping endures for a night. But can I tell you how to shout? Don't shout at 6 a.m. Don't shout at 5 a.m. Can I tell you what time to shout? At 12:01 a.m. While it's still pitch black. And while there is no light at the end of the tunnel. Because once it strikes over, you can be able to say that there's joy. Joy is yet coming. Because I know in whom I have believed.